We are joined right now by a national college football writer for CBSSports.com, also a good friend of this here jungle. Dennis Dodd is my guest. Dennis, so good to have you back. What's up? How are you?
Jim, I am on Urban Watch 2018. I'm great.
Good, good. Why don't we start right there then? So Ohio State University trustees, Dennis, we're meeting this morning to discuss Urban Meyer's future. You have covered college football. You have covered all sorts of different scandals. What do you make of how the university has handled this entire matter?
It's been strange since Urban really made it a story on or about July 25th at the Big Ten Media Days, and basically doubled, tripled, quadrupled down on the fact that he didn't know about Zach Smith's 2015 incident. And that's really when it became a story, because he, in fact, says he did know, Jim. We know that because of a tweet he had a couple of weeks ago. And that's why I think his job hangs in the balance. I don't particularly think he will get fired, but I guess we're going to find out sometime really soon.
All right, so are we going to find out really soon in that sense? Because Tim May from the Columbus Dispatch tweeted that an Ohio State spokesperson came right out and told the media that it could go on for quite some time, and there was no promise that that decision would be revealed today. What, if anything, Dennis, do you read into that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, the longer it takes, the more you would think that, I guess, his job is at risk, but that's pure speculation. We were told before this trustees meeting even started that it could go beyond Wednesday. You know, we might have an announcement later this week. But I think there are a lot of things to decide here, Jim. What Urban Meyer knew when he knew it, you now have this Brett Murphy, McMurphy story coming out with sex toys being allegedly ordered in the facility, sex in the facility allegedly by Zach Smith. And that raises the question, Jim, only because Urban Meyer didn't tell the truth in Chicago, what did he know about that as the state's highest paid employee? That has to be considered, too. I would hope that Ohio State's asking those questions, as outrageous as that sounds, he's made himself subject to those questions.
Dennis Dodd joining us. I mean, Dennis, the question that I keep asking that I simply cannot figure out a good answer to is, why would Meyer keep Zach Smith around?
Right.
Do you have any sense as to why he would do that?
You know, yeah, you make a great point. Like, why would Urban Meyer die on that hill? Or that's a metaphor. You know, why would he hire this guy? Obviously, we've read that he was a grandson of Earl Bruce. Earl Bruce is one of the most admired men in Urban Meyer's life. But he not only hired him, he rehired him. And at Ohio State in 2011 when he got that job. So the question has to be asked, did he notify his superiors of the 2009 incident, which he has said he knew about when Zach Smith allegedly abused his wife in their home? And if he didn't tell them, why didn't he tell them? And did the school properly vet Zach Smith in 2011? And that's kind of why we're here, over a receivers coach.
We're talking to Dennis Dodd. And on top of that, Urban Meyer, Dennis, of course, has claimed that his first two core values are honesty and treat women with respect. He's such a firm believer in both these things. He's had them painted on the wall in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center.
Yep.
How well has he lived up to those core values in the way he's handled this Zach Smith matter?
Well, it would seem not very well. In fact, when you open the doors and walk down that long hallway in that facility, those words stand out, treat women with respect. And, you know, if he does retain his job in any shape or form, even with a suspension, how does he walk into any home now and tell any mother that, you know, he's going to take care of her son? You know, if I'm a mother, first thing I bring up is, yeah, but there's this. So, and you just can't overlook it. You can't just brush it under the carpet. I don't know what kind of job he's done with that. I guess we're going to find out from the trustees.
So, Dennis, one more thought about that. Why would Ohio State bring him back? I mean, do you think it's a matter of them believing that they can't do better than him as a coach? Or do you think they actually think that he did his job appropriately, or at least reasonably well enough that they can't justify firing him?
Well, he's basically dared them to fire him. If you saw that tweet a couple of weeks ago, if you read between the lines, he basically said, I changed my mind. I did know about it in 2015. I told my superiors, And if you fire me, you owe me $38 million in a buyout. And, oh, by the way, Gene Smith, me too. He's the athletic director. So that, to me, that in itself is an act of insubordination while you're under investigation and suspended. He went off the reservation to tweet that and try to set up, a PR war with inside the media. But, you know, where he goes from here, you know, I don't know. I think they're going to have to take that into account when they do this.
Dennis Dodd joining us. All right, Dennis, also a story from USA Today alleging violations at Texas A&M regarding possible improper benefits for recruits, violating practice rules, and potential mistreatment of an injury. I mean, Dennis, college football has had a really tough offseason. How would you describe the state of the game right now?
It's not very good. These stories have revealed the underbelly, the seamy underbelly of the game, Maryland's included in all this, that there is still that culture out there, Jim, and part of what's been alleged by the transfer student at A&M is he was made to practice while he wasn't fully healed. It was abusive, word said at him and players. They were practice outside of the time they were supposed to practice in the summer. And this whole enterprise, Jim, has gotten too big, too fast, too big to fail. So much money, so much hubris. There's no regulation of it. Texas A&M will live on. This will probably end up, if anything, an NCAA infraction. It won't take the program down. But if it's happening there, where are the pressures other places? What is happening all over the country? We just got done with Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze and the length they went to secure a recruiting class in 2016. So I just think it just says at the highest levels, all this is still going on, and it's pretty significant.
Dennis Dodd joining me. Now, Dennis, you also, as if the sport didn't have enough to worry about already, there is the prospect of the expansion of legalized sports gambling and the impact it might have on the sport itself. You recently talked to my guy, Michael Franzese, about the possibility of fixing games and how that might happen. So what kind of player is most likely to be a target for game fixers?
Jim, I have to give you credit. Dropping your name helped me get the interview with Michael Franzese because I had heard him so many times on your show.
Nice.
And he was great. I mean, I wanted to dig down because he's talked to you and me about fixing games when he was in the mob. And I said, how does that look? What does it look like in college football? And many of the same techniques apply in basketball. But I think we all know, Jim, it's a bit easier in basketball because there's fewer players. I said, how does it work in football? And he said, there's one way. You know, you get a guy that's gambling and maybe gets upside down. That happens among college students, believe it or not. He's a senior on a team, and he's got no prospects in the pros. And you go to him and say, hey, how would you like to make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 the easy way? And the kid goes, oh, I'm interested. All you have to do is keep the game under 14 or under 9 or whatever the spread is. Remember, this is not about the outcome of the game. It's always about the spread. That's where these guys make their money. And he said they get a quarterback, a running back, even a linebacker, believe it or not. And tells the guy, hey, the first three times you carry the ball, you drop it. Or he said the biggest, or quarterback, you know, throw an interception or make it close. He said the thing you have to watch for is watching garbage time. When somebody drops a pass or a game doesn't cover or something like that, but it's already decided in a 21-point game. That he said he can watch a game now, Jim, and tell if it's been fixed based on what I just told you.
I'm not surprised at all. Dennis Dodd joining us. Michael Franzese he's one of the most compelling figures I've ever spoken to literally my entire life. And not just that, right? Then what about the officiating crew? What about the officiating crew? He talks about what it would take, what kind of player it would take. What about the possibility of the member of an officiating crew who's working that game? How did he say that would play out?
Well, that's really, they're vulnerable because we've already seen it with Tim Donaghy. Who he still talks to, by the way, in the NBA. That was the pros. In colleges, they're contract workers. In college football, the officials make between, I think, $1,000 and $3,000 per game, and they have full time jobs. And the example he said is, what if you need a little extra money for Christmas? You know, you throw a flag here, you throw a flag there. It's not too hard to imagine. I mean, we're talking. Look, the stuff we just talked about with these schools, Jim. Why can't that happen to one person who compromises their values? And I think it does happen that one major conference this offseason brought in an FBI agent to talk about the new gambling atmosphere. So I think it's that serious. I think those are vulnerable areas in college sports.
You know, Dan, so one last point. I mean, you make the point that there's a reason that there haven't been a lot of college football betting scandals and that college basketball point shaving's easier. I get that. That's a very good point. But just because there haven't been public scandals, does that mean that it's not happening and that it couldn't happen?
I think it's definitely happening. I touched the nerve with Michael Francis when I said, what percentage of games do you think are fixed? And he got real quiet and he said, I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about that. Well, that told me there not only are some, but there's a significant number. Let's just say it's 10% out of, I don't know, how many games are there during a season, 800, 1,200 games in a college football season. If you get down, if somebody gets down on 10% of those games, it can make a whole heck of a lot of money. So I think it's definitely happening. The reason you don't see it is the reason you don't want people to see it. You know, it's underground. And there, to your point, there has been at least one major point shaving or game fixing scandal every decade since the 40s. Almost all of them have been basketball. There was Toledo, I think, in the early part of this century. But it's out there, Jim, and it's happening.
I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever. He's a national college football writer for CBSSports.com and a friend of the program, Dennis Dodd, my guest. Dennis, great to have you back. Really nice job.
All right, Jim. Thanks so much.
You got it. Dennis Dodd. And you had that conversation with Michael Francis. And Michael Francis would know. Michael Francis would know because he lived that life for a long time. I mean, I think any one of us can watch a game because if you're listening to the program, you love sports, you know sports, you can watch a game in garbage time and say, man, that doesn't look right. That doesn't feel right. But I would love to sit and watch a number of games with Mike Francis and get his thoughts.